Welcome to worship at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we conclude our stewardship series, Invited, as we celebrate the invitation to build a Christ-centered community to serve the world together. Thanks, Marvin Church and community, for your generosity. With your financial help, we are making a kingdom impact here and around the world. Let's join in as the sermon is underway.
Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, thank you, Marty and Aaron, for the great music this morning. And also, that call to commitment was the anthem that was commissioned for Marvin's 175th anniversary. So if it sounded familiar, it's a great piece. Thank you, choir. Did a great job with that today. Grateful for Laura Burton filling in for Kara and for Charles Prayton filling in for Jonathan today. And it's just a joyful day to be in the house of the Lord. Let us pray. God, as your word is proclaimed now, prepare our hearts to be attentive to your voice. And if we do not hear through the words that I speak, then Lord, speak to us in the quietness of our own hearts. Challenge us and renew us and convict us and comfort us. Lord, do a good work in this sermon, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, in 2009, Simon Sinek did a TED Talk, if you're familiar with that, with this topic being, start with why. And he was talking about, for anyone in leadership, they should always be asking the question before working on strategic plans, before action items, start with the question why. Why are we doing this? What is it that we hope to accomplish through what we are doing? So I'm going to take that, which, by the way, has had 12 million views. I'm going to take that idea of why and answer the question why with why do we give to Marvin Church? Well, I'm going to answer with the not only the vision of the church, but also the mission of the church and the discipleship pathway. This should sound very familiar. I said this last week, but hey, you shouldn't be surprised. I have the same sermon title as last week, so there's going to be a little overlap today. So friends, the vision of Marvin Church again, to grow disciples, to share the love and hope of Jesus Christ. And our mission is to call people into a life-altering relationship with Christ, equip them for ministry, and send them out into the world. And we talk about our pathway, our discipleship pathway. We want to move people along the discipleship pathway. If there are those here today who are inquiring about following Jesus Christ, apprenticing your life after Jesus Christ, we want to help you move into a relationship through a profession of faith in Jesus Christ to get to where you are growing in Christ. But statistically, many people, and we found before our Renovo survey, half of our church was growing in Christ. And oftentimes you have to go through some kind of a conflict, some kind of a struggle, some type of a personal crisis to reveal the wall that is keeping you from really moving into a more intimate relationship with Christ. We have classes here at Marvin to help people through that wall because we want people to be close to Christ. And most importantly, we ask that people grow towards being a Christ-centered individual. That is our discipleship pathway. How are we growing disciples who share the love and hope of Jesus Christ? Through the proclamation of the word and worship service, through the Bible studies, midweek programs, and Sunday school classes, through bands and class meetings, all these ways that we are calling people into that growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And I am so proud of our Edge Kids, of our children's ministry, these fifth graders who last Sunday afternoon went into the neighborhood surrounding the church downtown and invited personally these families to come to the Block Street party that's next Sunday evening. evening, and they also asked them, could they pray for those households? Isn't that wonderful? How are we growing disciples to share the love and hope of Christ? We are training these young people to engage the community and to pray for our community. We're calling and equipping and we're sending. And the Ministry Expo last week, over 100 people signed up to be engaged in a ministry who had not done so before. How wonderful is that, friends? We should be celebrating that 100 Marvin members have now been equipped to be sent out into various ministries that we are in partnership with. That could be Bethesda. That could be Bonner Elementary. That could be PATH. Whatever, the food banks. People are engaging out in the community to make this community, to make our world a better place. And we are moving people along to a Christ-centered life. We did the Renovo survey. Again, the results were last year. We found that our church moved significantly as a church, and we were described as not only energized, but vibrant. What great words for a church. Friends, that is the why we want to give our resources to help fund the ministries, the programming, and all the work that Christ is doing through us. I shared last week the Apostle Paul's words, excel in the grace of giving. And also, an invitation was given to come be a part of this. Paul says, finish the work with eager willingness. And that is what we're seeking for here, an eager willingness among the church family to grow our discipleship, to raise the funds so that we will be able to do the work that God has called us to do, to raise our faith so that we will grow closer to the Christ-centered life. Because as you move closer to a Christ-centered life, it reorients your life. It reorients the beliefs you have about what you possess and how loosely we hold on to those things to share with our community. It allows us to have a bigger vision for a kingdom which God desires to bring to East Texas and around the world. Paul making the appeal for the offering in Jerusalem. We talked last week about the fact that in these two chapters in 2 Corinthians, he's talking about a special love offering for those who are suffering in Jerusalem. How beautiful is the expression that as the church was birthed on Pentecost Sunday there in the Jerusalem city, it has now gone out through the work of the conversion of Peter and Cornelius and all of those experiences that went out that way to come back to the Gentile churches now sending a love offering to support the churches as they were struggling in Jerusalem due to famine and also due to persecution. The preceding verse that I did not read that is ahead of that chapter, verse 5 says, Paul writes, finish the arrangements for the generous gift that you have promised. And that's what we've been talking about. We've been making arrangements. We've been talking about this for 2 weeks. We've sent out a beautiful invitation for you to come today, be a part of our reception, to come to be a part of this close of this service where we can rededicate our lives to Christ and also present our covenants for giving for the 2026 year. We've been talking about it. We're making sure the arrangements have been done. And as I said last week, we've been celebrating the goodness of God. We've been talking about how far we have come as a church, how far we have grown as individuals, and how good God has been. As last week I talked about from Philippians chapter 2, again, how God empties himself through Christ so that we can have life in him. We shared a meal in between the services. It was a wonderful brunch. Holly Freeman and our team of the kitchen did a wonderful job just making a new tradition, I hope, for Marvin Church, that just as I shared last week, as people in the book of Deuteronomy were instructed as they were now living in the promised land, bring the first fruits of your harvest, come bring them to the priest, present them at the temple, and after you have done so, celebrate with your family. Have a meal together. And that's what we've tried to capture, the spirit of that generosity, the celebration of first fruits, the dedication of our lives, and to share in fellowship together, because we do this together as a family. So today's scripture has some helpful reminders for us. The Apostle Paul says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. sounds kind of like a proverbial statement of traditional wisdom literature from Israel. And it probably was, because Paul was raised in the Jewish faith. He was a Pharisee. So this idea of this wisdom about sowing and reaping was common to him. If we go to give you an example here from Job 31:8, and would you believe this if I told you that Job's expression of sowing and reaping is negative? Probably you'd believe that, right? Because it's a hard book to read. But if my steps have turned from the path, if my heart has been led by my eyes, or if my hands have been defiled, then others will eat that for which I have sown. That's, again, Job speaking in 31, verse 8. Friends, that's the negative way of saying that if we sow poorly, others will suffer around us. But the opposite could be true. If we sow generously, then others will benefit from that which we have. You'll probably recognize the following words from Paul's letter to the Galatian church. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow to please the flesh, you will reap destruction. If you sow to please the Holy Spirit, you will reap eternal life. Don't grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. That's Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9. Jesus, as Brandy read for us just a moment ago, had a similar type of sowing and reaping expression, only he put it this way: store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. I would say that would be Jesus saying, sow for heaven's sake. Sow the love to others, and you will reap the reward in heaven. Speaking of sowing and reaping, let me just share with you a funny story. A young boy came up to his preacher after church services while he was standing at the door, and he said to him, "Pastor, it sounds like you want people to give more money. Maybe you should preach a sermon about raising kids' allowance. And if you did that, then I could give more money." Well, friends, let me just say this to that expression. Unfortunately, studies have shown that for many Americans, the more money they make, the more money they owe. Those struggling with debt often think that if they just had a little bit more money, they could get out of debt. Well, then what happens when the income goes up? The standard of living goes up, and the debt goes up as well. The average credit card debt, according to Experian, in America, consumer debt, just this isn't mortgages, this is, I don't even know if this is auto loans, this is just credit cards, is $6,000. And according to what I studied this week, 40% of Americans are carrying over the balance monthly, which means they are paying interest on the $6,000 or so that they are owing. And I have nothing against bankers. We've got bankers in the congregation today. But friends, Dave Ramsey would say with Financial Peace University, pay down those credit cards. And that way, as you pay down credit cards, you're able to free up some money to give more to the work of the kingdom of God rather than to give money to banks and lenders. Last week, I mentioned the annual stewardship emphasis is important to me because it gives me an opportunity to see how God has been working in our lives, for Gene and I to reflect and to pray, to check in with our giving habits, and so it also gives us the opportunity to grow our faith. As I said last week, a stewardship emphasis is not about fundraising, it is about faith raising. And I will share with you that Gene and I had to have a discussion last night about what we were going to put on our card for this week. And I wanted to just felt compelled to just do a little bit more. Let's go up a little percentage of what we've been currently giving. And we agreed to do that together. We've done beyond the tithe, and we are trying to move beyond that because I've been reading and I've been so inspired by the stories of others. I want to share one that I read this week. I read about David Green, the founder of a retail giant named Hobby Lobby. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever been in a Hobby Lobby? I'm sure most everyone has. But I've been enjoying learning and being enlightened about their story. David's father was a pastor. His two brothers became pastors as well. His two sisters married pastors, and his third sister became an evangelist. Can you imagine what it's like at holiday meal times when they gather? Gene and I struggle to say, let's stop talking about the church for a while. I can only imagine what it would be like to have all of those people in one place talking about the church. Hopefully it's all glorious, but we know how it really is at times. Well, friends, what I want to share with you is David wrestled with this idea that everyone else was a pastor, but he was not. He went into retail, eventually became an entrepreneur, started a picture framing business, eventually growing into Hobby Lobby. And he realized that God had a place for him by creating a Christian business, which we know, friends, closes its doors at 8 o'clock in the evenings and also is closed on Sundays so that families can spend time with, so employees can spend time with their families, and also employees can go to church. The Green family, according to the article that I read called Treasuring Jesus, said that they gave 50% of the company's proceeds to the work of the kingdom of God. And that is what stuck with me. That is what stirred my heart. Mark Green, David's son, believes that generosity is the gateway to intimacy with God. And he said, that's why our family mission statement is love God intimately and live extravagant generosity. The Green family has a desire to sow generously, and they're reaping the intimacy with God in their joy. Edward Foster, in an article called Generosity Path, states, I don't want to increase my standard of living. I'm committed to increasing my standard of giving. What a great twist. What a great thought to hold on to and to wrestle with. I also read this week about R.G. Letourneau. Letourneau University in Longview is named after him, friends. I won't go into his whole story other to say that he only had a seventh grade education. But at the end of his life, he was giving away 90% of the revenues of his long earth-moving equipment and engineering vehicles that were part of his business. Wow, amazing, the idea of being committed to increasing a standard of giving rather than the cultural message of increase your standard of living. These are just extraordinary examples, I know, but it's what stirred Gene and I to pray and to try to do a little bit more this year. And that's where we want to talk about this decision we're making today. Make a decision of the heart. For the Hebrew people, the heart and the mind were connected. They were one. That's why Jesus says, love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, and strength. And then when the Greek influence comes in the New Testament times, he adds the words heart, soul, mind, and strength. The heart and the mind must be close to God. And as God has changed our hearts, renewed our hearts, challenged our hearts, convicted our hearts, healed our hearts, we respond with a heartfelt decision. And that's what I'm challenging the church to do today. I cannot ask you or make you tithe, but I want to just pray that you make that decision and start moving in that direction to find the joy that the Lord brings with that type of giving. Well, friends, I asked a church member because the passage also talks about reluctant giving and not to give reluctantly or under compulsion as they do this generous act. And I talked to a church member who said when they first came to Marvin Church, they looked around, the property was good, the building was clean, it had a lot of programming on the calendar. And so he told his young wife at that time, this church looks like they're doing fine without our money. We don't really need to consider giving anything. But friends, we know that's not true because every gift matters. And really, it's not about the church anyway. It's about your relationship with God and growing the generous heart that God desires for you to have. Friends, I want to share with you as of this past Friday, we have 33 commitments that have been given for $414,000. That's 8% of the budget from our first responders who couldn't wait for Commitment Sunday or maybe were out of town and got it in early. I celebrate with you that we don't want to have reluctancy. We want to be excited about giving. And so I share with you this day as we get ready to make our commitments, the last thing is that of being a cheerful giver. We have members of our church here who, when they go out to eat, they often engage in conversation and get to know their waiter or waitress. And at the end of the day, they'll oftentimes ask them how they can pray for them. And that's a beautiful moment. I've experienced it with them. But one of the things they also like to do is to tip their waiter or waitress a $100 bill at the end of a meal, especially if they've picked up that there's a need within that family. It's one of the ways that God has allowed them to share the generosity, but it's also a way in which there's great cheerfulness and joyfulness around that giving. And that's where I want to close this. God loves a cheerful giver. That's why we pivoted this year to have this reception downstairs. Let's make this a cheerful experience, something that we're excited about, we're committed to together. Let's do it as a community and enjoy the fellowship around the excitement. So friends, that's what we're here to do in just a moment, to come forward, to make a recommitment of our lives, to bring our covenant cards. Again, let me just say, if you've already mailed it in, come down and pray anyway, even if there's no card in your hand. We'd like to see this as a time to rededicate our lives and commit our lives for prayer. And as we sing the great hymn of the church, to here I am, Lord, what can I do? How will you send me? We can be reflective in thinking about how we're going to pray for Marvin Church for 2026. Again, so generously engage the decision by your heartfelt response of God's work in you and be cheerful in your giving. It's time to make our response, and I'm inviting you to build a Christ-centered community to serve the world together.
Thank you.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Thanks again for joining us, and have a blessed week.